Heartbeat.
Then in verses 7 through 10, we have the ministry of the gifts. Look at this. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That is for the common good of the rest. Your gift does not serve you. I want you to get that in your head. Your spiritual gift does not serve you. It serves the body. Your hand, some of you are a hand. It doesn't serve an illustration. It doesn't. The hand is not there for the hand. It's for the body. That's a welcome. That's a uh-uh. Stay back. Okay? And the body's proud of those things. Okay? So that's the idea in chapter 12. So he says it's for the common good. And then he says, for to one is given the word of wisdom, that's a gift, through the Holy Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge, that is a gift, according to the same Spirit. Now, so far, what have you learned? That the gift comes from whom? Holy Spirit. Right? That's okay, but we're technical now, right? I mean, is God the Holy Spirit? Yeah, but we're technical. I mean, we're reading right out of the Bible. So, wisdom comes from the Spirit. Knowledge comes from the Spirit. These are gifts. Faith comes. This is not the faith that comes by the Word. This is the faith that comes by the Spirit. Another, faith by the Spirit. Another, the gift of healing by the Spirit. Another, the effects of miracles, means by the Spirit. To another, prophecy by the Spirit. That's what it insinuates. Another, by prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits goes with prophecy. And to another, various kinds of tongues, and another, interpretation. There are nine gifts listed there. If you count them, cha-ching, 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 you're going to get nine. But here's what people miss. You're going to get four sets. They're in sets. For example, tongues and interpretation is a set. Prophecy and discerning spirit of prophecy was a set. You understand? Which means they couldn't operate. Tongues could not operate in the church. Tongue could not operate without interpretation. You had to sit down and be quiet. You understand? Prophecy couldn't be without a discerning spirit. These are sets. And here is a set. And in the Greek language, you can see it. Wisdom and knowledge is a set. There are four sets. That's a set. If you lose one, you lose the other. If you lose a tongue, you lose an interpretation. If you lose a prophecy, you lose discerning spirit. You understand? There's no reason for it. So you have wisdom and knowledge is a set. You have faith, healing, and miracles is a set. You have tongues and interpretation is a set. You have prophecy and discerning spirit is a set. Now the reason Paul in chapter 12 is going to put them in a set is because when he gets to chapter 13, verses 8 through 12, he's going to talk about removal of some of these gifts. He's going to say, for example, that tongues are going to cease. If tongue, and listen, it means in the church, because these are all for church, these are all church age gifts. This is for the church. So he says there's a period in the church age, there's a period in the life of the church in the world when tongues will cease. Well, if tongues cease, then interpretation, because you don't need them. He says prophecy will be done away with. Prophecy, then discerning spirit. He says knowledge will be done away with. Knowledge, then wisdom. In other words, it's going to come a different way. Whatever they performed, if they're done away, they're going to be replaced by something that does it. These things are going to be done a different way. For example, wisdom and knowledge are going to be through the canon of Scripture. Prophecy and discerning spirit is going to be through the Scripture. The canon of Scripture. Tongues and interpretation is going to be done away with according to the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians when Rome sacks Israel. They were a sign of judgment. Isaiah 28. Well, anyhow, we'll talk about that. But when you get to, see, these are set up in sets. In the Greek language, Paul set them up in sets. So that when he comes over to chapter 13, verses 8 through 12, and he talks about certain of them ceasing or being done away with, he uses two different Greek words. If one's going to cease and one's going to be done away with, he mentions one because you know they're in sets. And when he does, he mentions that three of the sets are going to disappear from the church, life of the church. The only one he doesn't say is faith, healing, and miracles. In chapter 13, he doesn't mention any one of those three. Had he mentioned any one of those three, it would have done away with the three. Do you understand that? So this is very important that you know that. So when you... Today I want you to understand that every believer has a gift. Now look, the gifts, over and over again, he said, how did you get the gift? By the Holy Spirit. Agreed? The Holy Spirit. Knowledge by the Holy Spirit. Wisdom by the Holy Spirit. Yada, yada, yada. So every gift comes by means of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you don't have a choice. You don't go like, well, I prefer this one. Oh, no. I wanted the gift of evangelist because I was with it. If God had said I got an evangelist, I could have stayed with Graham. That went like, oh, I got it. I got the gift of evangelism. Oh, I know I got it. I got it. I got it. God did that. I went, oh, please, God. Please, God. Please, God. Please. Please. Give me the gift of administration. I can stay with them. Give me any gift but pastor, teacher. I got what? Oh. So when you get disgusted and want to leave the church, I know how you feel. I know exactly how you feel. So in chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, we have 9 gifts listed, and they're listed in 4 sets. Then when you go down to verse 28, at the end of the chapter of chapter 12, he lists some more. He lists some more gifts. Now some of them are repeated in that list. Some are repeated, but I think 4 are added. So we had 9 in 4 sets. Now he moves away from the sets and he puts them in numbers. He says, let me list them. Apostle 1, teacher 2, and he goes through a list. He calls them, instead of putting them in sets, when he gets to verse 28, he lists them. Number 1, number 2, number 3, not necessarily of the place of importance, but rather in a series of numbers, in a way to number them. So he's moved away from a set, and he's now talking about single gifts. Are you with me? Because he was in sets up here, now he's in single. So like we got apostles, we got this, and we got this, and now he singly lists them. He's not putting them together in teams or sets or anything. And he adds 4 additional ones. In other words, some he adds again, down in verse 28 he added apostle and teacher singly rather than another way. He lists apostle, teacher, help, and administrator. He added 4 more gifts down there. Now, when you read Romans, you read Corinthians, you read Ephesians, and you add them all up, and where they talk about gifts, you're going to wind up with 19 or 20 gifts. Some of those gifts are out. And next Sunday, we'll talk about that in specific, but today I want to introduce you to the concept. Okay? Now, back to our text in verse 11 and 12. So he mentions 9 gifts in 4 sets. And then he says in verse 11 and 12, but one and the same Spirit works these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Boulomai, the word that is used here, boulomai, carries the idea of the sovereignty of the plan of God. In other words, how God has willed it out. It's talking about, look, in eternity past, God set this thing up in the plan, and there is a decree. And now that decree has come to human history in spiritual gifts. And Boulomai tells you that now that it's here, this is the will of God that has been decreed and eternity before the foundation of the world. That's how you do that in Greek language. Boulomai. It's not the only word for will, but it's a strong one. And so you're seeing something that God had planned before the foundation of the world had been set in decree, ready for human history. Now it flashes into human history as the will of God. That's true when we learn things about the will of God. That thing has come out of eternity past into your life like a flash of lightning into your soul. And now you are engaged in the plan of God that was formed before the foundation of the world. You've become a key role, a key player in the drama of the will of God planned before the foundation of God like a flash of lightning. It has struck you on earth and lit you up like a Christmas tree for God. Let your light shine. Isn't that phenomenal? I mean, is that not phenomenal? Jeez. I mean, that gets me excited. Well, so we have different gifts, but the same distributor. The Holy Spirit at the point of salvation gives you your gift. It's, you're not going to get another one. You got it. What you got to do is you got to find out what it is and accept it. And listen, the finding out what it was the easy part, Miriam. Doing it was the tough part for me. That was the tough part. Well, let's take a look at some of these ideas. Let me pause a moment. Let me have a word of prayer and let me knock out a couple points before we have to take a break. I got my juices got flowing. And I forgot I hadn't prayed. Of course, Al did a pretty good job. He covered it all. But Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity to be here today. I pray, Father, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I am so thankful for the work of propitiation extended to my life in the idea of confess my sin and be cleansed. Cleanse. Wow, what a concept. And I pray, Father, the Holy Spirit would teach us today as He ministers through the gift of pastor teacher, opening up the Word of God to our souls, that we would see, Father, the importance of the spiritual gift You've given us in the ministry of this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's look at a few points this morning about the introduction, especially for those who are new to the idea. Every church-age believer receives a spiritual gift as one of eight works of the Holy Spirit, the moment of salvation, as a result of faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you believe that Jesus died on that cross for your sins, was buried and raised from the dead the third day, you're saved. You know how you got saved? Because you believe it. You say, well, I think I ought to do something. Well, you can't, because Jesus did all the stuff for you. You say, well, I got to do something. No, it's already been done. All you can do is accept the gift. It's a gift. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I was a guy who always liked to earn my way. So that was hard for me to accept. It was a little hard for me. Christianity has been hard for me because I'm a guy that just grew up with a work mentality. And converting over to grace has been very difficult for me. I mean, I love the concept, but I've had to quote, really work at it within my personality and my character. To go like, okay, God, I'm taking my hands off from this thing. Okay. I'm going to leave it alone. I know. We'll put it back down then, okay. It's hard for me to keep my hands off. Some of us have that kind of personality, and we love the concept of grace, but then we struggle with it in our life. Because, you know, somewhere we still hear that voice, well, you know, you gotta do it. You gotta make sure it's done. If you don't do it, who'll do it? That's in the back of my head, and I'm like, yeah, I know. Well, if you don't go to the hospital, who will? And the Spirit of God says, those who have the gift of mercy. Yeah, but what will people think if I don't go? They'll think you're home studying. Oh, well, that's novel. Okay. So, I should keep teaching on spiritual gifts and not go to, no, unless they request you. Or unless I request you, right? Unless the Holy Spirit requests you to go, leave it alone. Why? Because there's a gift in the church called mercy. Well, how about administration? We got to, the paperwork and all that. If I don't do it, it won't get done. Who cares? It's my church. It's not yours. You let the people know that you need people to help you in administrative needs. You lay it out there. You tell them what's there. I'll tell them where they should go or not. It's not your church. Well, I know, but if I don't do it, it won't get done. Who cares? Who cares? But they pay me. They pay you. Does every Holy Spirit ever say, they pay you? What do you do that they pay you for? How come I'm not getting paid? I do all the work. They pay you? Do you pay the rest of the people in the church that's got the gift? Let's not let that out of the box. Wait. They pay your gift and you don't pay theirs? We ain't gonna have enough for them to pay me and me pay them too. So I have to hunt in the Bible to find out. Am I supposed to be paid, not them? Because I don't want to be taking no money and get in trouble. Thank you, Jesus, for the book of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Titus. Oh, I can keep the money. Oh, thank you. Because I couldn't figure out how I was going to pay what little bit I got to pay it out. But let me tell you something. If I couldn't have found it, I couldn't take it. It'd have to come as a gift. So what I did is I turned my heart to the Lord and said, Father, I don't work for a salary. If people want to give me a gift, they give me a gift. Whatever they give me, I live on. Because I don't want to have to deal with this. You know what I found out? I found out that's the way you live. And I found out God will do the same thing for you. God supports His gifts. He supports it in many ways. Not just mine. And so I don't work for salaries. Never ask for one, never will. Don't work for. My gift's not for hire. Not for hire. Neither is yours. Even though because I serve in the capacity of an under shepherd, I can do it. He said, don't make it an issue. Oh yeah, you could, but don't make it. Paul said, don't make it an issue. Never make it an issue. Say that. Never have, never will. There's something in my heart that says, who could ever pay you enough anyhow what you think you're worth? Huh? Who could ever pay you what you think you're worth? Or maybe what your wife thinks you're worth. Who says, we don't have enough? My wife never said that, by the way. 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, verses 11 and 12, once again says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things. One and the same Holy Spirit. In every person, He works the same deal. Gives you your gift based on salvation. One and the same Spirit works all these things, distributes to each one individually as he wills. Then there, watch this little phrase, for even as, so also. That's a comparison. For even as, so also. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, you know, like your body. Listen, it has parts you can see and parts you can't. It has parts you cover up. Because we're, quote, modest, I guess. I mean, there's parts we see, there's parts we don't see. There's parts inside of us, lungs and livers and things, I guess. Somebody's told me that. I haven't went in there and looked. But for even as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body are one body. See, there are many members, there are many gifts, but one body. The gifts serve the one body. You're like the parts of your body serve the one body. So also is Christ. The body is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into the body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, we are all made to drink from one Spirit. And what he's telling us is that at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit does 8 works in the church age, and one of them is to indwell us, one is to baptize us, one is to give us a spiritual gift, and I listed the 8 for you. In the first verse of the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, does your Bible have the word gift italics? It should. Because the word gift isn't there. It's understood. It's later discussed in the chapter, but it isn't there. But what is there is the word pneumatikos. Spirituality. It's pneumatikos. I wrote it on your paper. Notice the suffix. I-K-O-S. That suffix in the Greek language means that this belongs to whatever the word is. The word is spirit. Pneuma is the word spirit, Holy Spirit. Therefore, gifts belong to the Holy Spirit. They're given to, listen, they're given to each of us because he lives there with us. You understand that? Your gift belongs to the Holy Spirit. It belongs to the Holy Spirit. He gives it. He exercises it. You cannot, your gift will not work in your flesh. It has to work in the Spirit. It is a spiritual gift. It is a gift that belongs to the Holy Spirit in you. It belongs to him. Greek language. Now concerning spiritual gifts, or the spiritual gifts belonging to the Holy Spirit, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware or without knowledge. And so he writes chapter 12, 13, and 14. That's a lot of information.
This is the end of part B of this study. Please select part C to continue.